This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You are with Kelvin, Hezril, and Cam. So the arrangement is that Hezril and I are both at home. Cam is live with you in the studios. So this is how it's going to sound like for the next couple of days. So just bear with us. Anyway, first up, we're talking about protecting voting rights during COVID-19. So Bersih 2.0 has urged Election Commission, or EC, to facilitate voting for Sabahans who are positive for COVID-19. They were responding to a statement by Senior Defence Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri yesterday, where he had said that voters who test positive won't be allowed to vote in the upcoming state elections.
That's right. Bersih says that the EC should make special arrangements so eligible voters can cast their vote from the safety of hospital wards and they can be assisted by medical staff. Bersih stressed that a citizen's right to vote is enshrined in the federal constitution. He added, no one can arbitrarily take that away, not even a government minister or a special cabinet.
Did you know that the oldest organization, oldest company in Malaysia is the post office?
Wow. Now I know that.
Malaysia has Malaya sending things called letters through a thing called the Postal Service for over 100 years. And so we do actually have a kind of really old-fashioned technology that could overcome this situation with the greatest of ease.
What would that be? Postal voting?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a crazy idea, Kelvin.
I think that's a great idea, right? Now, it exists for overseas voters, but it doesn't work domestically. And I was actually thinking about the ways they could make it secure, right? The tech has been so advanced in terms of protecting parcels and packages. I think one thing they could do is, for instance, somehow waterproof those, add security seals. There's so much possibilities, and I'm just surprised that isn't a thing already domestically.
Yeah, it's really time for us to find and work with these sorts of solutions, right? Because this really is the new normal and eventually it will become the normal. So any sort of implementation we do now to protect health and safety is going to carry forward, no matter whether we're dealing with COVID-19 or if in a year or just a few years time, we have a vaccine and we are safe enough from COVID-19 to be able to vote. Because right now, it does seem as if without some of the measures in place, voting remains to be quite dangerous, especially during this time. If not dangerous, then a bit inaccessible, right? Because if you happen to be right now vulnerable to the coronavirus, you're also already likely to face disproportionate obstacles to voting, meaning you're the elderly or you just live, for example, in areas that are remote, and that makes it hard for you to access any sort of polling booth, for example.
Well, yeah, I mean, I live in Kuala Lumpur and it takes me 5 minutes to drive from my house to my polling booth. But for so many East Malaysians, it can cost 1,000 ringgit at a minimum to go from West Malaysia to East Malaysia and then come back again. This is crazy. And it's utterly unfair. Even at the best of times, certainly at the worst of times, we as Malaysian citizens, we don't necessarily have that much control over politics, but we should have the vote. And and it is so simple to overcome this. But it's political foot dragging. The Election Commission has spoken on this issue and has apologized for the lack of postal voting. But it's political foot dragging. Historically, there has been no political imperative to allow people, more people, as many people as possible, to vote.
But that's the thing, right, guys? It's not just for COVID-19 patients. It's for senior citizens who might be living out of state, right? Especially when we talk about state elections and not just federal elections, people might have moved to the cities with their kids who might be working there. So, you know, it might be, they might have a hard time traveling, people who are just sick and, you know, have other illnesses in general. So I think this would really increase accessibility for so many more Malaysians than just beyond COVID-19.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right, because at this point in time, you know, there are things that, while not meant to intentionally make it harder for people to vote, and some might even call that voter suppression. This is a term that's coming up a lot in the US right now, because they're also heading into, they're heading into their own elections. And really moving forward, if we just can make voting easier, and we have an opportunity now to do so with proper SOPs in place, why not? But you can let us know what you think. How can we make voting safer and more accessible at this point in time? And do you perhaps agree with Cam's suggestion of making postal voting a thing in Malaysia?
Yeah.
And call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Thomas Phan, chairperson of Bersih 2.0. So stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:14 on the Evening Edition. You are with Kelvin, Hezrul, and Cam. And this hour, we're really talking about how to ensure that people still get to vote during COVID-19 and protecting their right to vote. And this is coming after Senior Defense Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri said that voters who test positive won't be allowed, positive for COVID-19, won't be allowed to vote in the upcoming Sabah election. So we're going to dive into this a bit deeper together with Thomas Phan, chairperson at Bersih 2.0. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So Bersih has said in its statement that the EC is duty-bound to facilitate the casting of votes for COVID-19 patients. But tell us, what do the laws say about this?
Well, I mean, the Federal Constitution in Article 119, Clause 1, stated clearly that any citizen who is not disqualified because of a mental illness or imprisonment is entitled to vote in any federal or state assembly elections. And I think this is a constitutional right that every citizen has who is above the age of 21 at the moment.
And now, Thomas, the health DG yesterday mentioned that in order to allow patients to vote, hospitals would have to be gazetted as polling stations. How long would that process take? And are there perhaps any better alternatives?
Well, I mean, this Sabah state election was already known from, you know, if I'm not mistaken, the 30th of July. So we know that an election is coming up, and the EC was already making plans and gazetting polling stations throughout Sabah. And COVID, we have been under COVID for the last 6 months over. So it would have been obvious that there is a possibility for a need for hospital to be polling station. But having said that, as far as I know, it takes just a day or two to gazette a new polling station if there's an urgency. So we are talking about now just a few more days to go to Saturday, and there would be enough time to gazette a few hospitals. I think quite likely these COVID stations will be in designated hospital. In other words, it won't be throughout Sabah as well. So I think this is doable.
So, Thomas, looking for a larger solution, do you think could a remote voting system have been set up specifically for this situation and for this vote, or perhaps something like a postal vote?
That might be a bit more complicated for the EC, because I think they have been exploring remote voting, even e-voting, and trying to improve postal voting. The issue with all this is that there must be certainty in the integrity of the process. In other words, there cannot be any possibility or even suspicion that votes cast in this manner can be abused or hijacked. You know, there must be that certainty. And I think they have not come to a process that can give that assurance yet. So remote voting or postal voting, e-voting, I think it's out of the question for Sabah election. But the easiest thing is to gazette hospital as polling station for this purpose.
Right. And is there any sort of situation that warrants an approach where specific groups aren't allowed to vote? Have we seen this happen in the past? And this is looking beyond what the law has stated so far.
No, I think for us, we just look at the law, even if it's not perfect. The law, to us, you know, everybody has that fundamental right. I mean, voting right is sacrosanct. It's not something that should be taken away from people, but the law says if you are of unsound mind, proven to be of unsound mind, or you're serving prison sentence of more than 12 months, or you have committed an election offense that where the punishment is that you are barred from voting for 5 years. These are the current law. No, I think beyond this, there should not be any... that's not warrant, I think, anybody to be disqualified. Because if the cabinet or a minister can just make that declaration, you can imagine the potential abuse. That, for example, if somebody say if you can't speak Bahasa Malaysia well, you cannot have the vote. Are we going to agree to that or give that kind of power to a special cabinet? No.
But I guess this, legally perhaps it says it says what it says. But I think for a long time now, you know, in some parts of Malaysia, voting is just inaccessible in ways that, you know, whether it's geographically or just because you find that, for example, polling stations may not fit the specific needs you might have in terms of mobility and so on. This isn't a new matter, but why hasn't there been any sort of improvement, I guess, over the years that we're not seeing, that it's not so visible, Thomas?
You mean efforts to reach out to people in remote area or difficult to reach area? Is that the question that you're asking?
Yes, that's part of it. And at the same time, it's also about perhaps for those who might be physically impaired, for example.
Yes, yes. You know, I think there has to be a whole shift in our thinking about voting and voters' right. You know, the EC need to have that thinking that voting is such an important duty and the right of a citizen that they will make all efforts to make it as convenient as possible to collect every single vote. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of a country like Indonesia, our close neighbor, and I have personally witnessed the effort that their EC put into collecting every vote in the country, and it's a big country. And they travel even to remote regions with ballot boxes and even overseas, renting hotel room and letting their citizens know that they'll be there to collect their votes. And I personally have gone even into the prison in Indonesia to witness prisoners casting their votes, and they even collect votes from hospital beds. From every citizen. I think that is the spirit that we want to see in Malaysia. It's not a matter of like, you know, here we are, a polling station. If you need to travel 50 kilometers, that's just too bad. And if you can't come, well, I'm sorry about it. That shouldn't be the attitude. We need to shift it around and say voting is important and every vote counts.
Right. And on that note, Thomas, looking abroad, other countries have had to go to the polls with the pandemic around, right? We just have to look south to our neighbor, Singapore. How have they dealt with it and worked around these challenges and barriers?
Yeah, Singapore just had their general election. And as usual, it's very orderly. But in Singapore, they did not allow COVID positive patients to cast their ballots, and also those under compulsory quarantine at their quarantine center to vote. But those on stay-home notice, in other words, voluntary quarantine, they are allowed to come and vote at certain hours, certain timing reserved for them. So Singapore is not an ideal situation because I think their law doesn't guarantee the right to vote for every citizen, and they have a right to take away that vote. But our constitution guarantees us this right.
So with that in mind, Bursay, I believe, has stated that COVID-19 patients who have not been allowed to vote could take legal action against the EC. On what grounds would they be able to do so?
Well, I mean, constitutional ground. You know, every citizen who is not of unsound mind or in prison for more than 12 months is entitled to cast a vote in an election on that ground. And also, further, the Election Offences Act did say in two areas, Section 4D, that if any election officer were to hinder, to obstruct, prevent somebody from voting, that is an election offence. And also Section 9 of undue influence, where anybody, you know, used their influence or their power to stop someone from casting their votes, will be liable of election offence. And I'm even thinking of Defence Minister Ismail Sabri. If he say that he's a minister and he can obstruct somebody from voting, I would say that he has committed an electoral offence under Section 9, undue influence.
Thomas, have you been contacted by any patients so far? And how would Bursay assist them if that does, if that is the case?
Well, we just released our statement today, and of course, we do not know what is the final decision from the EC. We have heard from Ismail Sabri, but I want to hear from the EC themselves, SPR, whether they are going to go along with what is recommended or said by Ismail Sabri, or are they going to carry out their constitutional duty. So we won't know whether any law has been broken until polling day on Saturday. And we have already said to people that if they have they are prevented in any way from casting their vote, do contact us. We'll get lawyers to represent them and to take the EC and the government to court.
Thomas, on that note, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Most welcome. Thank you.
That was Thomas Fan, chairperson at Bursay 2.0. And you, of course, could send us your thoughts about what you think about this story, right? Especially in light of the fact that in Sabah, if you happen to catch COVID-19, you might not be able to vote in the upcoming state elections. It's so far only been the defense minister saying that. He hasn't yet confirmed the thoughts. On Twitter, we do have a poll running in light of the federal government stating that Sabahan voters with COVID-19 aren't allowed to vote. Should postal voting be introduced within Malaysia? This is an idea that's championed by CAM. Yeah. Out of 143 votes, it's yes, 77.6% saying yes, 3.5% saying no, and 19% saying that it could be open to abuse. Keep your thoughts coming. You can vote on that poll. You can also call us with your thoughts, 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We have the 5:30 news coming up. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.